Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
Alyssa Magic Mikev. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender Podcast. Joining me today on this Friday in the South, and by South I mean of the South of California, it's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast, which is back. It's back to talk about Bachelor stuff.
It sure is back.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hello, Benjamins. Good.
Are you excited?
It's Friday. I love a Friday.
I love a Friday as well. I've already had a very lovely Friday, and I'm excited to continue the loveliness of it with you right now. We are having a full Southern Charm day. We're going to talk about Southern Charm, and then afterwards we're going to talk about Southern Charm's New Orleans, do sort of like an overview of that. And then Crappens mailbag after that. But importantly, we have some stuff that y'all should know about, which is that Ronnie has been working on cooking up some really cool merchandise. Want to tell people about the merch, Ronnie?
Yeah, so we're going to start doing monthly shirts, collectibles, if you will. And our first shirt is going to be our version of the Lala shirt from Vanderpump Rules, which is just for Grand Theft Auto picture, but it's us. Yeah. So if you want our gorgeous faces as Grand Theft Auto characters on your body, those go on sale Monday, and they'll be available till the end of Vanderpump Rules. So get on over to watchwithcrappens.com Monday and find your merch links.
Yeah, Ronnie drew the faces himself. So it's like, it's basically having Ronnie drawing on your chest. So hot. It's hot. Yeah, we're going to be doing limited edition runs of t-shirts and things like that. Because it's, why not? So,
and if you guys want something, like if you have a request for a shirt, like of a saying or something that we do, just let us know on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Yeah.
As long as it doesn't violate any sort of like IP things. So, yes, that we're gonna be doing that. And, of course we also have our trusty Crappens poetry, which we lug around to all our live shows. We're gonna be bringing that to Chicago. So go buy some of that when we come to Chicago next week. And speaking of live shows, we have two next month that we're super excited about. First, Phoenix on June 21st, talking Real Housewives of New York. It's a Thursday show. So we'll be talking about the Roni that aired the night before. And who doesn't love Roni? It's only the greatest show on television. So we got
I was named after it.
Yeah, Roni Karam. And then 2 days later, we're up in San Francisco. It's Gay Pride weekend. The theme of our show is Gay Southern Charm. Talking Southern Charm, being gay about it. Going to have some fun surprises, do some gay stuff.
We're going to have some really fun Luann tributes.
Yeah.
Luann will be right up the street.
Yes. She literally will be like feet from us, but not with us, unfortunately. And speaking of Luann, Ronnie and I are going to see Countess and Friends tomorrow night, so I'm sure we will have a big old story about that, I'm imagining we're going to put that on our bonus episode this week. So if you ever wanted to listen to our bonus episodes, you go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens. This week we talked about, I don't know, what did we talk about again? Oh, like Michelle Wolf and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, this was a more serious one. I talked about being triggered at a gay play.
Ronnie got triggered at the
theater. This is like my therapy. I felt so much better after talking it out. But I was triggered, and we talked about the correspondence dinner. yeah, so those are always fun.
Yeah, that was, bonus episodes are really fun, so I imagine we're going to talk about Countess and Friends on the bonus episodes. So.
We can laugh, we can cry. I mean, who knows? You never know what you're going to get on those.
Yeah, you never know. So let's see, we talked about our live shows. Oh, and go to watchwhatcrapins.com to find links to get those tickets. And even if you're not in San Francisco or Phoenix, we have a whole bunch of other cities which we're not even talking about yet because we just don't want to be totally obnoxious. But in July, we have a bunch of shows. And in August, we have some shows. We've added additional shows. And who knows? Who knows what other shows might be on the horizon that you might be hearing about very soon?
Yeah.
So,
I have a lot to add to that. But now,
the main event. The main event.
Now we have Real Housewives of Southern Charm.
Real Charm of Southern Housewives.
Yeah, I was going to say Roni again because I have stupid Roni in my baloney.
Yeah, Roni in my baloney. It happens. These things
happen.
Today
is Southern Charm and Southern Charm in New Orleans.
Yeah, a lot to talk about on both, I think.
Okay, well, let's get to it.
Let's get to it. So Southern Charm opens up in this new fashion that they do where there's like a recap, an intense recap, and then Trixie Monocle comes out and like does another random line from her Southern Charm song. And this time it was like, I'm okay, he's okay.
Well, it starts with, because Craig and Naomi are ending their fight, where she's like, I can't. She just walks off. He's like, well, you just don't understand what I'm trying to say at all, Naomi. And she walks off, and then Trixie's like, everyone that's in the know, low blow, or something. I was like, well.
Cat food if you're in the mood.
I like balloons and shoop-de-doop-de-doop-de-doop-de-doop-de-doop.
Self-checkout is nice, but I like the attention of a cashier.
Trolley's all free, but bus costs money.
Give me a break, give me a break, give me a break of that Kit Kat bar.
Nell Carter is, once Nell Carter shows up on this podcast, she's never leaving again.
Okay. To be fair, I was doing a Kit Kat, give me a break, not a Nell Carter, give me a break.
Give me a break of that Kit Kat bar. So Nell Carter is not here. Trixie Monocle stabs Nell Carter in the face. Carter has to get off of her show.
Nell Carter, the ghost of Nell Carter, was like all ready to sing all of these songs. Then Trixie Monocle came out with like an ice pick, stabbed her, shoved Nell Carter into the closet, and was like, all right, I'm ready. I don't know when Nell Carter is. A strength that she's late for this recording session. I guess I could sing if you want. Wait, okay, this is important, actually. Important has nothing to do with anything on Bravo, but I feel like it's important. Did you know that Celine Dion released a new song yesterday? Mm. And here's why it's important. I was in the car, because we talk about Trixie Monocle, and I feel like Trixie Monocle, Celine Dion, it works. So here's the thing. I was in my car and listening to Coast FM, which is our local light music station, and they go, and now, new music from Celine Dion from the Deadpool 2 soundtrack. I was like, what? These are two concepts that don't seem to match.
I took this job because of Winnie.
And the song
is good. I love
you,
Winnie.
The song is good.
Deadpool.
Deadpool, je ne sais pas, Deadpool. The song is good, and the music video is Celine Dion singing on an empty stage, and a dancer in high heels dressed as Deadpool dancing around Celine Dion. It's like the craziest shit I've ever seen, and I'm totally here for it.
What is this? I thought we were doing a song about carpool. No, Celine. It's Deadpool.
Kim Fields jumps up. Carpool? Carpool?
I know Kim Fields' best topic for life.
Yeah.
Well, Celine, I'm happy for you.
Yes.
Celine, I know you're listening to this podcast right now while you're on break after your Deadpool music video. Looking
so
up Nell Carter, like, oh, I've not thought of Nell since I last saw her at that party with Trixie in 2008.
She suddenly disappeared from that party. Where did she go?
Give me a break. Celine Dion, I'm out.
Trixie Monocle killed Nell Carter to advance her career. It's official.
And then Trixie's like, well, I guess we're not together anymore. Because no Carter disappears. So then we cut over to Catherine, and Catherine is trying to put a chair together, but it's like one of those blow-up chairs, right? I'm not really sure what's
like
happening
a weird,
over there.
It was a weird kitty chair, and she's like, these things are made for two parents to put together. I'm like, it's a kiddie chair.
I know, but that's also like the best sex ed class ever, because the way I was taught sex ed class is sex makes you die, you know, so don't have it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, so everyone's like, let's have sex and see if we die, you know, just to try. And then we were all fucking really young. So I think if they just said, look, you're going to have to put chairs together alone, then people would abstain, you know, until marriage.
Chairs together alone. Again, the inspiration behind Celine doing the cover of All by Myself. Don't want to build chairs by myself anymore.
Because of this Deadpool, I will be putting chair together by myself.
Deadpool.
The song is actually called Ashes. But
oh, God, even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Renee.
Oh, Renee.
This girl is... Oh, I'm going to stop making dead Renee jokes, okay?
Yeah,
I think people got mad at me when I was making dead
Renee jokes. Let's talk about other dead things, like all the dead plants in Craig's backyard. We are now at Craig's place.
I blame his new boyfriend.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's my new boyfriend, Deadpool.
He's in the ashes and dancing around alone. Ransley Dion.
People know that he's like a superhero, but what people don't realize is that he's actually a really good dancer.
He just wants to be dead in a pool. What's so wrong with that?
He's like a superhero, but he curses. It's like really revolutionary. So I actually never saw Deadpool. I have no Deadpool jokes. I have like references.
I don't even know what Deadpool is, to be honest. That's why I was thinking of Carpool.
It's like Ryan Reynolds. Let's just make up what Deadpool is. He's like a superhero whose entire power is that he can like zip to the front of the carpool in Big Little Lies, and he can drop off the kids before Renata.
The end. Best movie ever.
I would watch that like on repeat. Like, oh, we get to the front of the carpool lane and piss off Renata.
That would be a superhero movie in 2018. They've gone through everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, now they're going through. So I was watching some on Netflix, and they're like, her superpower is that she's really strong, kinda. I'm like, oh, that's it? Don't they have to be a little more special? It's like, your superpower is getting to the front of the carpool line. I think that would definitely pull in a better demographic.
It's actually the most useful superpower, right? Like Ant-Man, that's like...
It's like you have the ability to like make your whole shopping cart look like it's 10 items or less so you can go through Express.
What is the advantage of being Ant-Man? Like, oh, my superpower is that I become easier to kill.
Yeah, I can carry watermelons.
Yeah, I'm
bigger
an ant.
Than my head.
Yeah, I'm an ant, and now things that were everyday objects are now apparel for me. That's a great superhero power.
Yeah, the ant. He can carry really heavy things for people. It's like great.
It's like great. A Cheerio is now like. That Cheerio. Is a death sentence. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reference. Get it?
Oh, my God. I wasn't using my pop filter. People, I'm so sorry if I was popping in your ears. Pop, pop, pop.
You know,
pop,
I use pop. A pop filter, and I'm convinced it doesn't work because I listen back to you, and it's like, pop, pop, pop.
Yeah, I don't think mine works either. But it does get a lot of nice spit all over it.
Yeah.
So that's helpful. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your superpower, pop filter that just collects spit.
You know what else collects a lot of spit? Craig's Kitchen.
I have to point out really quick that Catherine's superpower is not being able to put together a baby chair. And then Thomas is like pretending he knows how to change a baby. And I was like, oh, you two are so cutely inept separately. Aw, hugs.
So, yeah. They need to be together to be powerful. So,
yeah, here I am changing a diaper, I think.
What I do Deidre? Is I just stare at the baby. Deidre.
Deidre's just morphed into that baby so he can pretend like he knows what he's doing for 5 minutes.
We're at Craig's house. The backyard's a mess. The kitchen's a mess. There's that random backsplash. I think I'm becoming fixated on backsplashes on TV, but have you noticed it's like all these
becoming.
Blue walls? What? Yeah.
Becoming. Yeah, you've been fixated on backsplashes for a long time, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Well, this I don't like Craig's backsplash. Is the backsplash itself is fine, but it pops out of nowhere. It's just like these silver tiles on this sky blue wall. It needs work.
Yeah, agreed.
You know?
Well, he's there to do it.
Yeah.
Because that's his thing. He's going to sew some new backsplash onto there.
Sew a pillow splash.
So Craig, I love that it's like, and then he misses a paper towel in the trash. It's like, God damn it. It's like, this is all I need from this scene, okay? So he calls, I guess Laura. He upgraded his Uber his Uber life coach thing. You know, the life coach from Uber gave him a bad rating. Like, hey, this is Greg Conover. I was going to call a life coach from Uber, but he gave me like 2 stars. So,
yeah. Well, what probably happened is that, like, you know, you don't get their real phone numbers on Uber, and he probably called the number and was like, hi, I'm calling about your life coach servicing. And it's like some operator from Uber being like, sir, we're a car service.
Yeah, your life will start in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
nope, I swear, 2 minutes. It's been 10 minutes. Sorry, it's really 2 minutes.
Your life. Sorry, your start. Life is surging at the moment.
Your life will start in a Toyota Corolla in 2 minutes.
Sir, we're so sorry, but it turns out that your life went to the wrong block. Do you think you can walk over to your life at the moment?
Damn it, I missed my life.
Your life canceled on you. We're gonna find you another life.
Lynette.
Celine shows up as his life coach. Okay, Greg, tell me about yourself.
Oh my god. This call for a life coach. So he calls this lady for a life coach. She's like, hi. And she's like, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, you didn't say anything.
Yeah, he goes, so I was talking to an Uber one time about life coaches, and it was really resonating with me. She's like, great, great. Just by that sentence, I know you need a lot of help.
He's like, I'm eating waffle fries and a takeout hamburger. Help, help. And she's like, I need to see you in your home, so I see you in your environment, which basically means, like, how often do you change your sheets? You know, like, am I going to smell them when I walk in the door?
Yeah, I just hope that Laura has a hazmat suit. So then we go over to a place called Southern Bells, and Cameron is shopping for infant clothing with her mom, and she's looking for a coming home outfit for what's the name of the child, Palmer?
Mayonnaise.
They have
such weird names there. It's like palm oil, mayonnaise,
salsa,
freeway,
cornstarch.
Cornstarch. Yeah. My baby's a thickener.
My baby's named Cornstarch. You can make a slurry out of my baby. So yeah, looking through all this ugly baby clothing, which I'm like, just go to Target. Target has really cute baby clothing. They, you know, a little yellow something with like a cow on it that's smiling.
Well, Cameron shops like me. She shows us the closet. Like they cut to a clip of her closet, and it's just all the same color clothes. It's like every time I go to Old Navy online, and then it gets delivered, and I'm like hanging it up, I'm realizing I just buy the same shit over and over again. And that's pretty much what she's doing. It's like the Simpsons closet. When you see the Simpsons closet, yeah. It's all the same dresses.
Exactly. March
has just the same dress over and over.
So Cameron tells her mom that she's become a germaphobe recently, and that like when Jason, her husband, comes home in scrubs, she makes him change in the garage. I'm like, now Cameron, you know, I respect that you're concerned about germs, but he's actually a doctor, and I think it's okay. I think he knows if he thinks he's gonna be imperiling the baby, I think it'll be okay. I think he's a doctor. This is sort of his thing.
But he doesn't really do much, so I'm glad that she tortures him by making him change in the garage.
That's true. It is kind of fun. Yeah.
Just like you take care of women popping out babies. Look, I don't even know how to say it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, he's the kind of doctor who reaches his hand up a woman and pulls out a baby by their legs. Like, that's how it is in my head.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to have to do it at home, which I guess, I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I have to say, I don't totally love the Cameron scenes this season because they're kind of the same thing over and over again. Like, well, the baby's coming soon. Oh my god, this is crazy. I'm tired. Oh my god, baby clothes. Oh my god, baby. I'm like, all right. Like, the first few times were fine, but now we know how it's going to work. Top of the episode, give a scene where Cameron's doing something babyish, going to the doctor, getting her feet massaged, doing a prenatal thing, buying baby clothes. You talk to someone like, wow, the baby's coming soon. Yeah, it's coming soon. And then it's done. It's like, okay, all right.
Well, parents and people who have experienced the miracle are like, oh my god, babies.
Miracle of being single, yes.
Yeah, they're like, babies. But then people like us, when we see baby scenes, we're just like, that's something else that's going to bug me on the airplane. You know? It's like, congratulations. Thanks for everything you're giving the world.
Yeah. I see the baby scene. I'm like, why is this fetus not telling someone that they are thirsty and they're better than someone? Why are we not seeing that from this baby right now? Because that's what I'm here for.
I need more from this baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my review. Palmer, give me more.
Palmer, I need a moment. I need a moment from you.
Listen here, cornstarch. Get it together or you're off this show, okay? I want you to start a fight with a new baby ho, okay? I want you to be fighting Leva's baby or whatever. So Cameron's mom comes and she's, you know, she's like, I'm inept as well. Here's Rudolph the reindeer for Easter time. For a boy or whatever. She's like, Mom, I'm having a girl. You were a bad mom. You let me fall off the bed. That was back in the day where you could do that without being a bad parent, you know?
Yeah. Listen.
And she was like, my mother expected me. She would leave me and my sister alone when we were 7 years old, and we had to take care of ourselves. Well, yes, that's why I approve of China. Child labor is necessary for a child's development. Okay.
Yeah, Cameron, if you didn't fall off that bed, then you would not have been compelled to go into reality television, okay? And everything you have is from reality television these days. So thank your mom.
Yes, thank your mother. And thank all of our mothers for dropping us on the head to think that this stuff is the best shit that's ever been invented.
Exactly. You don't wind up on the real world San Diego without having been dropped on your head a few times as a baby, okay?
No kidding. I'd like to publicly thank my mother for drinking a bottle of wine a day when she was pregnant with me, because I'm so fucked up that I think sitting here recording reality show podcasts is like a worthy thing to do in life, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe if I hadn't been a drunk baby, I would have thought differently and been a doctor or something disgusting like that.
And I'd like to thank my parents for not really ever letting me watch TV at all as a child. We never had cable, and we had little rabbit ears, and I could watch CBS, NBC, I could watch Fox a little bit, and everything else was like a nothing. And so finally, when I became an adult, I was like, TV! And here I am.
You see? Thanks, parents.
Thanks, parents.
Thanks, bad parenting.
And now we go over to Shep and Austin. They're at a beer garden.
Of course. Where else would they be?
Austin somehow is staving off tons of autographs, as he is a huge star at these bars. You know, he's basically a celebrity when he goes into a bar. And Shep walks, he's like, you, Garsh.
Austin talks about how he let his parents down when he stopped seeing Chelsea. And Shep's like, whoa, are you going to do 3 nights consecutive hangout with the new one? And Austin's like, whoa, we're so different. When I'm single, I act like Shep. I know you can't tell, but I'm moving my mouth a lot while I talk.
I can hear it. Yeah, and I can hear the Austin
you can?
Affectation.
He's like, when I'm single, I act like Shep to jump into a relationship so I don't turn into him.
And Shep's like, to me, that's emasculating. Which, I don't see what's emasculating about, like, being in a relationship, but that's fine. So Austin's whole thing is that he doesn't want to turn to. He's like, I don't want to turn to Shepherd when I'm single. The last thing I want to do is be some loser without a job, drinking beer all day, and just talking bullshit about career plans.
He's like, whoops.
Yes.
Whoops. So Naomi comes to meet them, and Shep's like, that jacket is so cool. And she orders gator popcorn, which terrifies me, just the sound of that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you seem happy. And she's like, really? Do I? I don't know why. I don't know what about me says happy right now. Like, when I saw Craig, it was like, you know, I felt like waterfalls. But then I met him at the tavern, and he set me off, and I said horribly mean things to him. But it's like, Craig, She's like, I'd like to order an order of, oh, God damn it, Craig.
Gone. And a side of La Croix.
Yeah. And Austin's like, well, you have to really, like, when you break up with someone, you have to, like, chop it out. For example, I fucked this girl and I'm going to have a Halloween party with her tonight and invite Chelsea.
Yeah, Austin, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm friends with all my exes. Ooh, yeah, you've turned me to Shep. So Chelsea shows up. She's like, hey, I'm Chelsea. And so now they're all sitting down talking, and Shep starts talking about Peyton. Peyton, who, of course, began her career on Relationship and now has moved over to Southern Charm. And now, as Shep says, she's upgraded to Austin. And so Chelsea's like, well, did you hear this, what I heard? So I was cutting Craig's hair, and he basically told me that he met Peyton, and he has a little crush on her, and that she's the first person since Naomi that he would do something with. So this, of course, gets Naomi super
pissed. What is wrong with her? Who does that? What happened to patient-client privilege or whatever, patient-doctor privilege? You're not allowed to just do someone's hair and get all their gossip and then go tell people?
No, that's why people become hairdressers, specifically for that.
Who does that?
He should know better. He should know better. Yeah. So now Naomi starts getting like super, super mad, and she like wants to see a picture of Peyton. And I don't know if you noticed this, but like when someone gives Naomi the photo on the phone of Peyton, Chelsea in the background goes, "Really dark roots. Really dark roots."
Oh, Naomi sees an enemy and Chelsea sees a client.
Yeah. Maybe she should come to Willow Salon, where we got a mural of a wave.
Which I think we found out that was the glue that holds Mirror on the wall.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Facebook.
But it was also clearly a product of Hildy Santos moss.
Yes, Hildy's like, "I'm going to do a whole wall in mirror glue."
Here's what we're going to do. Deconstructed mirror glue wall, okay?
And hamster baby parts. It's like, "Thanks for coming by, Hildy." So yeah, Naomi's like, "I'm going to kill her. What is her family's address? I'm going to fucking kill them too." It's like, whoa. I don't know who this Naomi is, but I'm really liking her.
I'm really
liking balls to the wall bitch face Naomi.
Yeah, I like Naomi being just like a total crazy deranged bitch this season. It's, well, to a limit. Well, we'll get back to that. We're going to touch back on that later, because I think she went too far this episode. But up to a certain point, I was really enjoying it. So now we go to Craig, and he's at a place called Fashion Fabrics, and he walks in, and Kathy, the lady who works there, goes, "Hey, it's Pillow Man." I was like, if the people at Fashion Fabrics are mocking you now, that's bad.
I just need a fix. I just need a fix.
Jason at high.
Do you have any alternative down? Oh, God. Subject it into me.
What sort of thread counts can you get me? Because I want something real high. Real high.
Look, it's a loafer. It's a slacker. It's Pillow Man.
It's into me. Special power. Throwing pillows softly, softly annoying enemies. The aliens are coming in from outer space through a rift in the sky. He's just throwing pillows at the aliens like, just stop. I'm just trying to invade here. Can you just like stop throwing pillows at me? Thanks.
The porthole to the other time is just a hole that he left in a teddy bear.
Yeah.
It's like, they're coming through. They're coming through. Well, it's called flawed design. What are you so mad at? So Craig's like,
I'm just imagining like Thor, like a giant robot, and Craig just like throws a pillow at a robot, and Thor's like, I got a hammer here. We can do something with the hammer instead. If you want, you can do a hammer.
I think the pillow's gonna be really good. Watch.
He'll just try and sew people together, but he'll never quite get it down because that's his superpower. And he's like, "Sewing has been my escape." Like, escape, really? This is like the widest escape of all time. He's like, "I'm going on tour. First up, baby tooth pillow."
Baby tooth pillow.
Tomorrow I'm gonna try to make a bolster.
So Craig is there, and he's like learning about free motion quilting, which I imagine in his world is like going from cocaine to free balling. And he's like, "Oh my god, oh, free motion, whoa."
You gotta love this kid, and you gotta love that quilters just keep coming up with new terms to make things exciting. I mean, quilting's been around for a long time. They're like, "You know what? Hey, Grandy, let's try some free motion quilting. Get the kids in here."
it's quilting without rules.
I heard about free base quilting. Do I bring my own pipe or do you supply the pipe?
You know what was one of the worst movies ever? How to Make an American Quilt. It wasn't really about quilting.
I've never been so tricked.
They might as well just call it My Angelou Tricks People.
So now we start what I'm really loving about this season, where we're just going to get a Craig and Catherine scene in every episode, because this is like a whisper off whenever they're on.
Yeah,
it's so funny listening to them talk to each other, because she talks like this and he talks like this. And they always sound like they're hatching like some grand scheme to take over the world. No, they're like literally just talking about pillows.
Yeah, and then Catherine, she's also trying to kind of relate to him and trying to connect, but you can see she is like totally baffled by all this. She's like,
"Yeah.
So are you still kind of just exploring pillows and whatnot?" Like, she's like, what do I say about the pillows?
He's like, yeah, does Kinsey need anything? Or like that new chair maybe you have in your house? Do you want me to sew you some backsplash? And she's like, are you gardening Craig or fabric Craig or kitty cat Craig? You can always hashtag which Craig you're getting. Whisper Craig, whisper off Craig.
Free quilting Craig.
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Oh, Craig.
I love when he goes, yeah, well, like, I met with Nomi, and I thought we were going to be getting back together, but it turns out, like, it's all about timing, so I'm going to get a life coach. And Catherine, she whisper laughs, is what I wrote. She's like,
Well, you know, you can't really be that loud in a fabric store, which is ironic, because if there's any place where you should be loud, it's the fabric store, because it can muffle all the sound. But I feel like you have to speak in hushed tones if you're ever find yourself in a calico corners, for instance.
Keep it quiet while we're free quilting.
They're just like shakers.
So she's like, I like Catherine. I mean, I like Nomi, but... you know, I want to see Craig flourish, and he can only do that if he gives himself time.
A whole lot of precious time.
So I'm hoping that Nomi doesn't turn on her for this. Because you know that Naomi's going to hear this and be like, she said to break up with me. Because Nomi's like on a crazy warpath right now.
Yeah.
And I'm really liking this like girl power thing they've got going on. Now, well, as a Bravo watcher, I know this never lasts.
Well,
okay.
Yes, because, I mean, yeah. Well, this whole, like, we're women and we got to stick together against the good old boys of this town, that kind of gets undermined a little bit later in the episode, I think, but we can get to that. But, yeah, I am enjoying the girl power, though, thing overall that they're having this season. And then we go to, speaking of the non-girl power, we have Austin. And so he heads over to his parents' place, where I like his family because they're just like waspy, you know. He gets there and they're drinking a bottle. They're drinking wine, and they've already had a bottle of wine between the mom, the dad, and the sister. So they're already drunk, basically.
Well, someone pointed out on Facebook that the mom looks exactly like Zolciak's mom, I cannot unsee it.
That was my first thought when I saw her last season, but I didn't want to say it because I felt like she deserved better.
Yeah. Well, too bad.
Too bad. So the mom has made some sautéed shrimp and some steak. And the only reason why I mention that is because that steak was perfect. Did you notice how perfect that steak was?
No, I try not to look at the food when it's on TV because I'm very easily influenced. And then I'll start making whatever I see. Like, I've literally gone to see if I have sewing needles in my little junk drawer. And I do. And I'm like, what can I make?
And I make a pillowcase. I made two last night.
Yeah, you know, when I used to recap Project Runway, I made a whole new couch. Like, didn't make it, but I recovered a whole new couch, made all new pillows. I made a fabric headboard. I made a duvet for myself. I spent, like, every other weekend in the fabric district downtown, you know, and everything fell apart and it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't need to be led astray anymore by you, television.
I did. Well, it's not that I made a pillow, but I sort of commissioned a pillow once. I went to Mood and I found fabric and I found a TaskRabbit and I got filling from IKEA and I went out to TaskRabbit and I was like, this is back when it wasn't hourly, when you can make your own price. And I said, I'll pay someone $18 to sew this pillow. And someone sewed me a pillow for $18 and still on my couch. So I get that.
Well,
I know. I've been down that path too.
Man, I hope Craig finds TaskRabbit. Now there's a good life coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Will you
he
be
needs
my
a
life
rabbit.
Coach, TaskRabbit? So Austin's mom is like, talkie, okay, here's what you do in life, nothing, what are you gonna do? And he's like, I like beer. I was thinking of maybe making my own beer, because that's not a saturated market.
Yeah, exactly.
Sandwich in a glass.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty easy thing to do. Just make beer. It only takes a month for every bottle of beer you make. Yeah, yeah, no problem.
It's like the opposite of skinny girl. It's like fat dude.
Yeah.
Fat dude beers.
So the parents are like, okay. And the dad's like, so do you have recipes? He's like, well, the thing is, nope, I don't. It's like, do you have a brewer? Nope. Do you even know what sort of label you want for the bottles? Nope.
Do you even know what beer is? Actually, not really.
And his dad works for the he used to work for the FBI. And just having my dad look at me with FBI face, I mean, I was terrified. I was like, he knows that you're lying.
Yeah.
Just so he can't lie. He's like, nope, just came up with that sitting at the table right now.
Yeah. He's like, well, if beer doesn't work out, I think what I might go into is silverware, making silverware.
Placemats.
I think I might cook steaks. Making steaks.
His dad
raising
is like,
cattle.
Or Austin's like, well, my dad was in the FBI and my mom was in software sales, so I'm thinking of investigating Excel. I'm not sure if there's a lot of money in that. And then his mom's like, I'm sick of you being lazy, so we're going to invest in your beer business. It's like, wait a minute. Can someone remind me again why he's not like Shep at all? Because still not really seeing it.
Exactly. So now we go over to Craig's shitty house, and now another further shot of the super nasty backyard, and we see a bed where the sheets are just sort of like dangling off of it, and there's like a paper towel lying on the bed, and this is we didn't even talk about the other shots of the house where there was just like full-on dirt, just dirt in the hallway, shoes, socks, laundry, just it's just a disgusting house. And here comes Laura, the life coach, and she's got like these like pert little asymmetrical bangs. It's like she looked at the woman from that awful HGTV show Hometown and was like, her.
I knew you were gonna say that.
She's my fashion icon.
I wrote down Hometown is gonna trigger Ben.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you know what I want? I want a haircut that's gonna age me 15 years. That's what I want.
I actually really liked this girl, but
I liked her.
Before I get to the positive, always start with the negative, you know? That's like my life's motto. Why? This is your typical life coach. When they walk in wearing like a felt top, I'm like, she totally understands the sewing your own clothes thing, because I think that that is like from a Christmas tree runner, you know, like that you put around Christmas trees.
Yeah.
It's like a felt thing. And then like, I was like, what is she doing? She's got Paige Davis hair. And then I wrote, no, Hometown. No.
Hometown. You listen, you can't show you know about feelings if you haven't shown you know about felt.
Well, that's true. You have to wear felt. She's like, I'm wearing my feltings on my chest.
I eat my feltings. I liked her too, but the hair, that's a haircut I cannot get behind.
Well, we're homosexuals, so thankfully we don't have to. So
actually some homosexuals do have that haircut. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, it still doesn't work. There's a lot of funny haircuts from this time period that I'm gonna have so much fun LOLing at in a decade when people are like, let's have parties about the 2000s. That's our theme. Kids do that.
Kids,
you and your theme parties.
What are we gonna do with kids these days?
Do you like that I've just decided I'm a senior citizen now? Because that's how I talk now. I'm like, these damn kids, they're calling me sir and asking me for directions.
Having theme parties where they're going to wear that novelty Hometown girl hair.
Yeah, I'm like furious. So I'm being played by like Clint Eastwood, like the really gay version of Clint Eastwood. Okay. So
yelling at a chair
next. Paige Davis Hometown hair. Okay. So she's like, so what about you? Tell me a little bit about yourself. And he's like, I went to Charleston School of Law. I'm hashtag Sewing Craig. And then I graduated from law school. And she's like, how do you generate income? Are you just not noticing the cameras in the room?
Yeah. Exactly. And she's just smiling. She has this like perma smile. She's like smiling, like, blink, 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 blink. And then every now and then the smile just like sags into, oh no, this, he's doomed. And then she's like, must smile, smile again, smile, just smile through it.
Yeah, she has like supportive but worried mom face, where she's like, "I'm so supportive of you. Oh my god, please don't." Please don't rob a bank.
She has School Musical mom face, as in she's in the audience watching her child on stage, be like, "Oh my god, my child can't sing, can't dance, can't act," and there's still another hour and a half of this. Oh my god, smile, but I'm supportive. Smile.
That's Rhonda Karam's face in the fifth grade. She's like, he's going to grow out of this, right?
Oh, my God. What is my child doing? My child's in high heels, dressed as Deadpool, dancing around Celine Dion. Oh, my God. Smile, smile. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. She's like, well, because then she goes, well, I'm sorry. I scrolled in my notes, and this is a very important scene, okay? So she's like, "What? How do you generate income?" And he's like, "Well, investments, but, you know, like, I need to learn how to do 1,000 pillows at a time. If I talk too much, tell me." And his mouth is just hanging open, and she gets that worried face, and she goes, "What is this about talking too much, Craig?" And he's like, "Well, my ex just didn't like me talking over people because I can finish their sentence in my head. Like, I already know what they're going to say. My mind is overactive. I can tell you how many lizards are out on the deck while we're talking."
I love that about myself.
I know. Just crossed over into super psycho territory. Now she's just looking outside like, how many lizards are out there?
I know when your deck lizard's gonna die. I love that about myself.
That lizard is never gonna emotionally fulfill you. So then she
because Craig says he has this ability to finish people's sentences in his head. Why don't we put that to the test, okay? I'm going to start a sentence, and then you, as Craig, finish it because you hear it in your head, okay?
Okay, I'm in.
I had a great breakfast this morning. I ate
bread.
Oh, my God, I'm so annoyed. I had to drive to
McDonald's to get bread because you really love bread. Pillows. Tooth pillow.
I didn't sleep well last night because...
bread. All I could think about was bread.
I just fell in love with someone named...
Bammies. Cornstarch. Cornstarch Palmer.
You know, mayonnaise is the first person I can really see myself...
eating bread with. You guys, can you tell that I'm on a cleanse? By the way, I've said that I'm on a cleanse for 2 weeks in a row now. Guess what? I've not even made it one day through a cleanse. But every day I'm like, well, that doesn't mean I can't believe in myself. I'm going to start over. And so I say cleanse a lot on the podcast. Like, that's going to make me lose weight. It doesn't. It turns out it doesn't. So now all I can think about is goddamn bread.
All you can think about is...
lizards outside, 27, 97 toothpicks. 97.
So
stupid.
No, I can't. I can't. Okay. I think that's no. Here's the reason why that's so funny. It's because it's relevant to the scene. He literally bragged about being able to count lizards on the deck. Oh, my God.
So funny. So she turns into, like, worried mom mode, and she's like, well, Craig, you're really hyper-negative with yourself. Let's be nice to ourselves, okay? For example, some people call me a Christmas tree runner. I call myself fashionable. Get it? You're a fast processor. You're a poor i7.
I did buy this outfit at the Christmas tree store, so... Have you ever been to Tuesday Morning? Isn't there a store called Tuesday Morning?
An amazing store called Tuesday Morning. My good friend Lauren Bacall told me about it. She's like, hey, fellas, here I am. It's me, Lauren Bacall, and Tuesday Morning. Like, Lauren Bacall does not shop at the Tuesday Morning.
Oh, James Kennedy must love it there. Every day is Tuesday, girl.
Ken Vanderpump calls it, Tuesdays are amazing in the morning.
Tuesdays in the morning with Maury. Yes.
He's just walking into Tuesday Morning and handing Lauren Bacall envelopes full of cash.
Rest in peace. So, okay, Laura's like,
this is, you have a fast processor, and that's how we measure intelligence. And you are smart and likable and cute. And to see Craig's face light up like a little boy. I mean, he's so cute.
And then she goes, you're very winning. He's like, what does that mean? She's like, that means you're likable. You know what? Let's walk back that fast processor thing. let's just stick with eye contact. You can do eye contact. Oh, well, maybe not. Okay, stop looking at the lizards. All right.
While we're talking here, about processing.
Over here. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. That's a good boy. That's a good boy.
Now, is follow this dot on the ground. She pulls out a little laser pointer. Like, oh, I can't get it. Stop being negative, Craig. Okay, I could get it. Can you make it come closer to me?
He's like,
I want that dot.
It's weird because, like, I put my hands over, but then it's all of a sudden on my hands, and, like, it's weird. It's just, like,
I just tore my headphones out. I'm a disaster.
Lizards.
Stop being negative about yourself. Montage of Naomi being like, Ben, you idiot. God damn it, Ben.
When are you just going to grow up and stop chasing dots on the wall all the time?
What's wrong with dots on the wall? So
now the best,
in summary, you're very confident, but you use negative words. So here's what we're going to practice. You being more positive, and you're going to practice your listening, because that's practicing patience.
He's like, what? And he goes, this is great. I'm actually an awesome person. I'm like, yeah, I think the listening is really a key part of this, because I think there's stuff you can still learn. So speaking of lizards on the porch, we then see Thomas Ravenel walking over to a restaurant called Goulette, where he meets Whitney and Patricia, and so he starts doing his bad French. He's like, oh, c'est la première fois que j'ai mangé à ce restaurant, or something like that.
Yeah, and he's like, foie gras, motherfucker.
Croissant beignet. Je m'appelle Thomas. And then Whitney's like, oh, il parle un peu, mais not, il ne peut pas parler comme moi, or something like that. And then Patricia's like, see, Whitney, he studied at L'École des Beaux-Arts in Paris. Thomas is like Pepe Le Pew. I'm like, wait a second, why was Whitney at L'École des Beaux-Arts? Is he an architect all of a sudden? Where'd this come from? Beaux-Arts.
Whitney is very well educated, okay? Whitney had an Encyclopedia Britannica, and Thomas is just a twit.
Whitney's like, going to rebuild Penn Station in the form of Beaux-Arts like he studied, but he's going to use only sugar cubes, and it's going to be in my kitchen.
Whitney eats at McDonnell, and Thomas is just a Burger King queen. We all know the difference.
Thomas eats croissants. Whitney eats pan au chocolat.
And Thomas is like, whoa, young lady, I'm blinded from that ring on your finger. And she's like, you like it? It's not the real thing. Which I love. Oh, she's carrying a bowling ball on her hand. She's like, this is just a dating ring. He's like, that's what I call a promise ring. I take it they break.
It's actually a push pop. I got it from a vending machine at the Stop and Shop. You can actually lick it. RuPaul, eat your heart out.
So he's like, oh, she says, marriage is a great institution. I believe in it wholeheartedly, which is why I've participated in it 17 times.
I recently married my elephant candle to my elephant statuette. We had a great ceremony. I put 3 flamingo floats in the pool. I officiated, and Michael made a cake. It was a wonderful ceremony amongst the elephants.
I believe in gay marriage, straight marriage, trans marriage. The only marriage I stand against is Cooper marriage.
Cooper marriage. Cooper's like, I don't believe I should be married either.
Cooper's like, I have a feeling about that, and you can pay $5 a month to hear about it on my private Facebook page.
She's like, I will be having Charleston's first gay wedding, but only straight people are invited. And I will be marrying Jennifer Snowden in place of another man.
So she's like, why don't men get married these days? And Thomas is like, well, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? And she's just like kind of disgusted.
I don't think he's getting the milk from free. I think he's like opening up the fridge when someone's like, you're not allowed to open up this fridge. He's like, I'm going to open up this fridge and take the milk out of it anyway. And I know we're talking about cows versus refrigerators, but I'm just gonna stick with the refrigerator, okay?
Because think of this. I mean, he's saying that, but he's not buying the cow. He's renting the cow an apartment. I mean, which is more expensive, like giving it a space in your bed or having to go sign a lease for the cow?
He is making a terrible barn for the cows. Now, the reason why this is actually particularly of note is because a story came out this week, one of the most shocking stories of 2018, I would have to say, which is that Thomas Ravenel accused of sexual assault. Did you read this?
Shocker!
I actually didn't read it, because I was like, what else do I need to know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, obvi. Did you read the article?
No, I didn't read it.
I mean, okay. Well, guess what? He went and he milked that cow. It was not his cow to milk.
Yeah, he's just stealing cows, basically. Thomas is like, why buy the cow when you could just hit it? Like, he's such a pig.
The cows have a good time. That's why they call it a laughing cow cheese. Like, no, Thomas. No. No.
No cows are laughing, Thomas. Okay? No. Including this one.
Lavash. What is that? What are they called? Vash rear? Something? I don't know.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. So,
asshole. I hope that they get all of his damn money, okay? I hope they get every little nanny housing house that he has.
You know, it's interesting because, so we talked about this earlier in the week, how, like, Patricia gave this, like, out of nowhere, she gave us a huge shout out on Twitter last week. And so a lot of people were commenting, and we posted on our Instagram. And someone said something like, yeah, but you, Patricia, but you like Thomas Ravenel. And she wrote back, I don't know if you saw this comment, but she said, no more hall passes for him, something like that.
Which, yeah, she hates his guts.
I was like, whoa, okay, like it, I like it.
Yeah, something has happened, I'm not really sure what, but she hates his guts now. Like, she likes Catherine and hates Thomas, which I'm for this change, and I cannot wait to see it happen on the show.
I think
it's starting right now, where, like, when he says, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? It's like, that was my line, first of all.
Recently bought 3 actual cows. She's like, wait, you can get the milk, you're getting the milk for free from my cows that I put in the backyard with the flamingo floats?
I didn't get rich by overpaying for milk. Where is this free milk?
You're telling me that you're getting free milk?
I was married to the magnate of Borden, and I don't know about free milk.
I'll
pay for this.
Not only did I have to pay for Whitney's film school and for L'École des Beaux-Arts, I had to pay for milk. And you're telling me there's milk? I didn't have to actually get the cow?
Oh my god. Okay, so then Thomas, she's like, how's this Ashley import? And he's like, well, sometimes she lacks a subtlety.
You are the one who just said, why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? That is not a subtle comment or outlook on life, sir.
You're the one who ties a rubber band around your junk so you have a moose knuckle wherever you go in your white jeans.
Exactly. You're the one who voluntarily started dating someone with Terry Garr makeup, okay? Like, you had the warning signs.
He's like, a lack of subtlety is so northerner. And I'm like, whoa, chill.
Chill out, bro.
Chill out. And he's like, but in front of the kids, it's all love. And she's like, well, to be a hospice nurse, you got to have a lot of sympathy and be good with a hose. She's got access to good pain pills. Do you have her number? I'd like to teach her a couple of things.
She's used to having conversations with people who aren't exactly there, so I guess that must speak to your chemistry.
She goes, let's face it, Thomas looking for perfection is a conundrum. Why should he, of all people, expect perfection? Please work at McDonald's. And, like, anytime somebody gets a special order, like, you haven't worked hard enough, you're getting it how it is. Whitney, on the other hand, I'll hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, because special orders don't upset us.
I still make McDonald's make Whitney McDLTs. Cold on the left, hot on the right, because my Whitney does not get warm lettuce on his burgers.
Whitney is educated, which is why he always finds Park Place.
I never have to say the McRib is back, because it never leaves my Whitney.
Make a McRib, darling.
I make them keep a store of secret McRibs all year round for my Whitney.
I love that we've just given Patricia McRib power. That's like we've talked a lot about superpowers in today's episode, but that one takes the cake.
When is McDonald's Monopoly coming back, by the way? That's more important because, you know, I don't know. Every now and then I go to Pavilions and they're always like, would you like a Monopoly piece? I'm like, what the fuck is this Monopoly? I don't want your supermarket Monopoly. I want McDonald's Monopoly.
Yeah, we can't just all rip off Monopoly, people.
Yeah. So now we go to Chelsea and Austin. They're playing golf. And Chelsea's like, oh, Austin is long and lean. He's got the golfer body. I'm like, I don't think there is a thing. Like, golfer body is, like, not a thing. Like, swimmer's body, yes. Football body, basketball body. Golfer body is, like, have you seen some of these golfers? It's basically, like, dad bod,
times 12.
Yeah, that is never the kind of, that is never a body that's going to be requested on, like, you know, in the sex bot brothel or whatever.
It's like a melted candle that's swinging a pole. And by the way, I have golf bod. I have full golf bod.
That's my goal, golf bod.
I have miniature golf bod. It's like golf bod, but then that gets an ice cream, like soft serve afterwards. Ugh, that sounds so fun right now.
I know, right?
I want to do Deadpool in heels and Celine Dion. Oh, the windmill. Every golf single
body,
time.
Golf body.
Winnie. If you putt the ball. I'm not going to continue that song parody. I refuse to jump in on
the Celine golf parody anymore. Brad. So Chelsea and Austin are like, she's like, I can just be your friend because that's the kind of girl I am. I'm like having a best friend and a dude. And he's like, oh, well. And spits all over her. And that's pretty much it.
He's a radio that loses reception. He's an AM radio. He goes, I still get that butterfly feeling in my stomach when I see her. I'm like, no, that's just your latest batch of homebrew.
Yeah, no kidding. Stop making your own. Stop trying to make your own beer, okay? So, and basically, it's just him telling her that he's having a party with this new girl. And she's like, So, next up, Naomi and...
You know what's funny? I wrote a note in brackets that said, ignored the rest of the scene, hoping that you would fill in the gaps.
That was pretty much it. She's like, golf? Wow. You know what I like? Golf. Play with my dad sometimes. I'm just one of the dudes.
Bread and lizards. Oh, so I was just trying to, like, finish the sentence in Craig's head. So, now we go over to, like a nail salon, and where Cameron's getting a pedicure, and Naomi walks in wearing, like, a perfectly nice, like, sort of white sweater, but weird blue and yellow fringes around the short sleeve. It looked like she, like, attached pom-poms from, like, Michigan, like University of Michigan onto her sleeves. It was very strange.
It was. That's how you know she's still in love with Craig. She's just trying to give him something to sew.
Yeah. She's like, well, this is actually a normal sweater. And then he sewed pom-poms onto them. And I was like,
yeah. I just unsewed the whole thing so Craig would have something to concentrate on while I'm trying to talk to him. You know? At the very least, he can make a couple of friendship bracelets on my shoulders.
His eyes rolled into the back of his head after doing this sweater.
So Naomi basically is talking about how she's pissed off at this new girl because she still, like, has a thing for Craig, even though she hates him and wishes he was dead.
Yeah. So, they're talking about Peyton, basically. Because Naomi's saying that she's so happy when she's not around Craig, but when she's around Craig, she gets angry. And then talk about this Peyton, and Cameron's like, oh, I met her the other day. And Naomi's like, is she smart? And Cameron goes, well, she's tall and blonde and has big boobs, which is, of course, Cameron shade. And then we see a flashback of Cameron with Peyton, and you just see Cameron say, you look like a Nordic alien. And Peyton's like, I feel bad for this Peyton girl because basically the producers were like, listen, we like you on Relationship. Why don't you come be on Southern Charm? And she's like, sure. And now she's just getting slammed left and right. She's just like showing up, sitting on couches, talking to people, and she's just getting raked over the coals.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, who says you have to be a real housewife to get hazed? I mean, they are really putting this girl through it.
I know. And like, meanwhile, Ashley, the new girl Ashley, they're like, oh, okay, let's be polite to her. But Peyton, they're like, rawr. I actually think that maybe Peyton is bearing the brunt of Ashley. Like, they want to be nasty to Ashley, but because she's with Thomas, maybe they aren't willing to go that far. So instead, they're just, like, projecting all their Ashley hate onto Peyton.
Well, I think they also have done so many girl power scenes. They're like, wait a minute. This is Southern Charm, which is all about making excuses for shit men. Why are they letting so many women on this show? Like, this is it.
Yeah, that's
this it. This is it. Any more, they're just going to start throwing people overboard, you know?
Yeah. So Naomi's like, there must be a drought in California because she seems very thirsty. It's like, okay.
And Cameron's like, I wouldn't worry about Miss California girl.
Yeah.
Or I Miss like Los Angeles.
Yeah. She said. Miss Los Angeles. Those crazy people from the West. I liked the thirsty line, but then Naomi just kept on saying it like the rest of the episode. She's like, well, she's thirsty. Must be a drought. Must be dry in here. Thirsty. Hey, are we in Phoenix? Because there's a lot of sun in Phoenix. And then what happens is people get thirsty.
Yeah, it's like she had one bad busboy, and it's traumatized her for life. It's like, can I get a water refill over here? God damn it, Craig!
So now we go to the Halloween party, and Austin is wearing his big costume. He is the co-host of this party with Peyton, and his costume is he's wearing a sweater that has a bunch of chicks on it and a magnet, like chick magnet, which is sort of like amusing, but it's a costume party. Come on, Austin. Come as a bottle of beer.
As somebody who wears the exact same monk robe for 15 years in a row, I'm not going to really get on Austin about this.
No,
now,
yours is a costume. Chicks,
they're ducks.
They were.
These are like little baby ducks.
They're rubber duckies. Yeah. You may wear the same thing, but yours is a costume. His is a gag sweater.
It's true.
Different. It's different.
But, you know, it's important to warn people. I don't know what I'm going to say. But he's basically a magnet. He's a rubber magnet, which it's nice to see someone thinking about safe sex in this town.
It's about time. Then we see Peyton. Poor Peyton. This is like Lindsay Lohan showing up as, like, what was it, a mouse to that party of Mean Girls or whatever it was. It wasn't a mouse. I forget what it was. But either way, Peyton shows up, and she's a unicorn, but she's blue, and she also has cat makeup on. Like, her face is a cat. It was like this terribly misguided attempt at a unicorn, and I was like, oh, this poor girl, she is just stumbling right out of the gate.
Yeah, and Austin's like, are you a unicorn mermaid? And she's like, no, it's just a unicorn. Ugh, God damn it, why did I do this? Like, I've been putting makeup on for 5 hours, and now I'm like Idina Menzel wondering why she wasted her life on Wicked.
Yeah, there was definitely some, like, Grisabelle going on with her. So, yeah. Then we see everyone else getting ready, and, like, we see Thomas, and he's shaving his eyebrows with, like, a Gillette disposable razor. I'm like, I don't think that's how you're supposed to do it, right?
No, I've never seen that before.
I don't think I would turn to Thomas Ravenel for grooming advice, though, to be honest.
Yeah. They're all pirates. All the men are just pirates.
Yeah.
I'm not really. Craig's boyfriend is a leprechaun, which is pretty cute. He's like, You can't make fun of me if I make fun of myself first. I'm like, yes, we can.
Yeah. And Craig's like, I have to go to a party and get yelled at by Naomi. Little does she realize I'm a fast processor and winning. I'm winning some.
Then we cut over to the girls, and Nomi's gay, and he is just staring into the camera like, hi, can you see me? Mom?
He's like that kid who was doing the Lady Gaga stuff in the background of that, like, one viral video.
Yeah, he's like, do you see me like I see you?
So no one knows what Naomi is. Naomi is dressed like Mia Wallace from Pulp Fiction, which is so weird because I had a dream last night before I saw Southern Charm. I had a dream last night with Uma Thurman in it. Isn't that weird? And Uma Thurman's voice was, like, smoky, and I was like, that's weird because I didn't remember Uma Thurman's voice being like that. It was such a weird dream to have, and then to have a Mia Wallace thing happen on Southern Charm, it was like I was psychic.
I love that you can recognize Uma Thurman's voice.
Well, no, because it was like,
it's like such an odd voice.
And because in my dream, I was like, remember in Pulp Fiction, she's like, Miss Mia Wallace? And I was like, that was like a high-pitched voice. It was so weird. It's such a weird, specific thing that crawled into my subconscious. And the fact that then it was on Southern Charm, I don't get it.
Well, I thought of the writer at Trash Talk TV, Mrs. Mia Wallace. Hi, bitch! So, she doesn't write there anymore, but she used to. And I was like, oh my god, you're still here, bye, bitch. Nomi is upset about this Peyton girl, but she I didn't know that she was gonna be this mean to her,
right?
Because she's like, well, I'm not nervous about Peyton.
Yeah.
Like, and Catherine's like, who's that? Like, well, she's this girl that came into town, and she did,
yeah,
then she did so and so, and then she did so and so. Now she's trying to view Craig. I'm like, you understand that that's how this entire cast has been on this show.
Yeah.
You're the only one who hasn't slept with, like, multiple cast members
exactly.
on this show, right?
And she's like, she's just looking for a guy to social climb his friends. And honestly, at this point, I'm still sort of, like, amused at Naomi's wrath because it's, like, harmless. She's, She's just being a bitch, but like the way you are with your friends sometimes, where you just are like, you know, you sort of vent. But it's like whatever. It's just you're with your friends. It's more or less harmless. But and I like that Naomi also leans into her psychopathic tendencies. She's like, I know I'm being a total psychopathic bitch right now, but sorry, I just feel like it. I'm like, okay. She's like owning it. She's owning it, yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
So now we go back to the party, and T-Rav shows up as like a weird pirate, and he sees Peyton, and he's like, "Damn, who's that? Who is that very subtle person? That non-northerner who's subtle except for her entire costume, but she's got breasts, and breasts cancel out subtlety. So, hi, I'm Thomas Ravenel."
I love that all the men in Charleston live on plantations and dress as people that live off other people's gold.
Exactly.
It's like, it's so fucking fitting, you know? It's like, does anybody have any kind of tone deaf awareness on this show?
Yeah, not much. So then,
Chelsea sees Austin. She's like, I look like a drag queen. I know. He's like, I'm into it.
Yeah. First of all, she does not look like a drag queen. Second of all, she's in a little purple bob, and she has like fake tattoos on and a little lip ring, and he's like totally turned on. He's like, if we ever bone again, can you keep that lip ring on and that wig and those tats? She's like, okay, weirdo. As long as you keep that sexy golf bod.
So Austin's like, hey, everybody, this is Peyton. And Naomi's like,
oh my gosh, she's a fucking unicorn. She's a fucking unicorn.
Catherine's like, I can't tell if she's cute or not. Here's a tip. In the first impressions in Charleston, don't cover yourself in paint. Like, or sleep with Whitney and Thomas, like, 2 days in a row. So let's just make up this rule book as we go along, people, okay? I'm with you.
So here's why I like Naomi, because she really does do the psycho ex-girlfriend stalking shit. She went to Peyton's LinkedIn, which is LOL that Peyton has a LinkedIn. And mm-hmm. Naomi's like, her LinkedIn says she's here to follow her passion to work in a dog boutique. Which is, like, ridiculous that it says that, but it's also hilarious that Naomi looked it up and then I was, like, telling everyone about her LinkedIn. It's so petty. It's so petty and nasty. But again, because she's, like, up to this point, she's just, like, just sort of, like, living in her psycho stalkerness. I'm kind of, like, into it.
Yeah, she's got pegs. She's like given it a disease name, so everything is forgiven.
Yeah, pegs. I forgot pegs.
Yeah, psycho ex-girlfriend syndrome. Yeah. So Craig and Shep are pirates.
Psycho ex-girlfriend sausage. I can finish sentences.
It's like, Craig, try and live in your outfit a little bit, okay? Because Craig's like, I feel like I'm going to be yelled at. All right, attaboy, pirate.
But what she doesn't realize is there are like 13 lizards right over there. And the moment she tries.
13 lizards.
You can finish your sentence, Ronnie. Finish your sentence.
No, I'm sorry. That was really funny. I was talking over it. I'm about to try and steal her chest of lizards, and she's going to yell at me.
So, guess who comes in dressed as Donald Trump?
Huge! Wah! Judge Bourbon!
Bigly! Bigly!
JD comes in dressed like Trump and looks like actually a little bit too much like him. And Naomi sees him and she just turns away, rolls her eyes, and she's like right up close to the camera. She just goes, fuck him, honestly.
He's the worst person in the world.
She's just like over everyone. She's just like in this like hilariously bitchy downward spiral. It's what gay men dream of.
She's like the only she's like the only person not excited Danny DeVito's there playing Trump for their party.
She's like, and so JD goes up to some woman and he's like, and she's like, what am I? Guess what I am? Or she's like, what are you? He goes, wow, you have 50 Shades of Grey. She's like, no, 9.5 weeks. No, Debbie Does Dallas. No, just some slut on the side of the street. She's like, no, I'm Breakfast at Tiffany's. Wah! I'm like, how do you confuse like Audrey Hepburn for all these like sexual thrillers? Like, what?
Poor JD. He knows that his wife's going to be going through his history later, so he's watching just really bad R-rated movies from the 50, you know, from the 80s. Thomas is like, well, hello, Catherine. I'm a pirate. like all gentlemanly pirates do, I'd like to offer you my jacket. She's like, no thanks. She's like, what are the kids doing? He's like, well, we're going to take them trick-or-treating, and Ashley said we should invite you. And she's like, too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah, she's like, too soon. And then JD walks up to him and is like, wow, wow, look how far you two have come. Wow, look how far I've fallen. Ah, just a joke, wow, wow. It was like, one of those, like, very, very instant, an instant spiral, speaking of downward spirals. His was like an instant fusilli spiral. And then all of a sudden he's like, ah, back into it, ah.
Tales of a clown, wow.
And then Shep was like sabering, doing a sword fight with Craig. He's like, gosh, look how good I am with my left hand. I'm not even left-handed, Craig. Gosh, you're so bad. Oh, I'm like Marquis de Sade. Oh.
As if he hasn't been holding the iPad in his right hand for years. Okay, so they're fighting, and then the girls are just being petty. They're like, unicorns are white, right? She's not even a good unicorn.
Yeah.
Well, unicorn. It's the dumbest unicorn I've ever seen. I was like, these girls are really mean. This is the season of woman power, okay? It's not just what woman you happen to decide is worthy, ladies.
Yeah, they are now starting to teeter in from being like hilariously just like shady amongst themselves and now becoming mean girls. Even though, yes, we did just clock Peyton for her non-thematic unicorn, but this is different because
this is a podcast.
Yeah, and they were like right there, and the gay was like, her unicorn is like not even like, what is that? And they're like, yeah, it's blue. What sort of like unicorn's supposed to be white? And I think it's when you see a clump of people staring at one person at the same party, that's when it starts to go from being like, this is so funny, to being like, this is getting sort of nasty.
Yeah, this is turning into bullying. And the gay guy's like, well, I'm sorry, but I feel like I'm being stared at. It's a camera, gay. Calm down.
And then they had this cutaway, which I loved, where I think it was Leva, which is, you know, Cameron's friend. Leva or Leva? I think it's Leva. Leva to Leva. And someone else, they're like looking at Austin's shirt. He's like, I'm a chick magnet. And Leva's like, oh, I thought you were a duck magnet, which is hilarious because, like, what is a duck magnet? But also, it's like, shows how bad his shirt is. But I just love the idea of a really duck doing magnet.
In 2018, a chick magnet is a duck magnet. We've seen the lips on Bravo. Okay, they're all getting them.
Well, well stated. I know how many ducks are in that pond.
I'm deep enough for a duck to swim in.
So now Naomi
and Craig.
Yeah, so Naomi, the women are like, Catherine was like, let him come up to you. Let him come up to you. But Naomi can't control herself. So she walks up with a handful. She has a bunch of Starbursts in her hand. They're cupped. And she walks up to Craig with them. And he's like, oh, cool, Starburst. And he takes one. She's like, they're not for you, Craig. I'm like, Naomi, why did you walk holding them in an Oliver the Orphan manner and bring them up to Craig and then be like, they're not for you? Come on, Naomi, you got to get it together. You're now spiraling out of control.
It's like throwing a dollar in a homeless dude's hat and being like, I was just asking for change.
Yeah.
What, you're the only person allowed to ask for change?
I just wanted to demonstrate how gravity works on a dollar bill. It's not for you. I'm taking it back. So she walks away. So she walks away and he's like, oh, well, I guess it's nice to know me tonight. And she goes to the bar and orders a drink. And she's like, that's not Gentry bourbon, correct? Which is great. It's a great, like, one of the few times on Bravo. I think it's only been, like, now it's Naomi and Ramona Singer pushing back on product placement on Bravo.
She's like, can I please have a glass of Nivea? That would be fantastic.
Priv shows up. Oh, sorry we're late. Does anyone need any Halloween touch-ups? Anyone? We're here.
Work on that loser unicorn.
Yeah, why don't you make her white? Why don't you make the unicorn white?
So Austin goes to talk to Naomi and she's like, do you know who I am? Because Chelsea said I look like who did he say? Duh. Why am I Bruce? I want to say Bruce Jenner, but that is so disrespectful.
No. So Naomi was like, people think I'm now you made me forget her name. Kris Jenner. People think I'm Kris Jenner. And he's like,
oh.
Yeah, and he's like, no, you're from Pulp Fiction. Mia Wallace. She's like, thank you. He's like, hey, let me introduce you to Peyton. It's like, So
I know. And then Naomi's like, love your costume. Are you a blue avatar? She's like, well, I look like an avatar, but I'm really a unicorn. She's like, so, Peyton, why are you here?
Well, production said I should come to this party, and I'm a new cast member because I was hired by Rob. No, no. Don't break the fourth wall. Why are you here? Because Charleston is such a hub for dog boutiques. Yeah, I read your LinkedIn. Yeah, you can see when it's these people who looked at your profile. That's me. That little daffodil icon, that was me.
LinkedIn slam.
Come on.
And she goes, look, just be honest with me because I'm a girl's girl. And she goes, I'm not seeing that. I'm not really seeing that right now. And she goes, oh, I see your intentions. I see your intentions. What am I going to get an email next asking me to recommend you to a job? Because I'm not going to do it, Miss LinkedIn. I'm not going to do it. Filling up my spam filter.
I'm going to recommend you your qualifications as whore. Whore. You get a whore endorsement on LinkedIn. She's like, okay. And so then, so she says, so now Naomi is just going on about this. She's like, well, what do you, like, so you're talking to Craig. You're talking with Craig now. And she's like, I don't even know Craig. She's like, well, it has nothing to do with Craig. It has everything to do with the fact that you're a thirsty bitch. You're a thirsty, is there a drought in California? Guess what? Is there a drought in California? Because you're thirsty.
Here, Craig's dressed like a pirate busboy. Craig, could you get her some water? Oh, he won't do it, and you're just going to stay thirsty forever. Trust me, I've been here.
I've known Craig for 8 years. I'm from here. And so Peyton's like, so you're better than me? Yeah, I am better than you, and if you want me to do some Kelly Ben Simone, I will. I can do that, because I'm from here.
Oh my goodness. This was like hard to watch.
Yeah, I'm like, now this is, I was like, well, I was really enjoying Naomi's spiral, but this was actively mean, aggressive, and unwarranted.
And here's where this, you know, they're always like, Southerners, they don't know the Southern way. And
subtlety.
This is where it comes in. In the South, if you're going to rip somebody down and rip them a new one, you do it by being really nice to them and letting them, you know, you just hand them a gift bag full of rope, okay, yeah, and let them hang themselves. You don't do what you just did. That was very bad.
It was so mean. Bad. I mean, this girl, she barely talked to Craig, and then Craig says that he has a crush on her, and now Naomi unloads on Peyton. The poor girl already has to deal with the fact that she has cat makeup on, wearing a unicorn costume. That's hard enough to deal with, and she's all blue, okay? So then Naomi, like, walks away. She was the girl. She's like, this girl's about to get pushed overboard. Yeah. I'm like, Naomi, okay, you need to cool your jets. All right. Just relax.
Yeah. And Chelsea's like, what happened? She's like, she's thirsty and she needed water. Well, that's nice of you. God, you're a good person. You're so sweet. And Austin, of course, chases down Peyton. He's probably on the way to the Indian restaurant under his apartment to, like, cry her eyes out.
It's a paella or whatever restaurant. It
was. Yeah, the paella restaurant. Thank you. And he's like, what happened? And she's like, she said she's better than me and that I'm thirsty. He's like, well, I am making beer, so I can help with that. And he's like, I always figured Naomi was an angel. And, like, you know, I always thought, how do you stay with Craig? And now I'm like, whoa, Craig, good for you for leaving. What a monster. Jeez.
Well, I mean, I actually still have always felt like I've seen Naomi's side in that breakup. I feel like I actually really understand Naomi's side. And I feel like Naomi's the sort of person who, like, Craig, just the mere presence of Craig just makes her into a deranged person. And I think that's what we're seeing. But that does not, there's no excuse for her to go after Peyton after like that. Like, so what if Peyton is social climbing? Let her social climb. Let her make her own mistakes. Like, just relax.
Yeah, so I love that it's social climbing to go to a Thomas Ravenel party or, yeah, like an Austin party, you know? Like, so she's... He's like, what did you do to that nice girl? And she's like, she is thirsty. She's trying to use you. It's like, I fucked her in a paella place. Who's using who? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
We're basically passing this girl around like she's a new pounder bag of M&Ms in a dressing room. Like,
and they're not even doing that, by the way. She just has literally shown up and she's shooting scenes with them and she's like not doing anything. So then I love this. Craig walks up and he goes, what's up? And then he goes, ow. Why would you stab me with a sword? And he goes, because I have a sword.
And she's like, he's like, why are you mean? She didn't do anything to us. And she's like, yes, she did. And you said you could see yourself with her. And he's like, I just considered a one-night stand, no mean. It's like, liar! I don't even mind anymore. You know what? We are done. I was like, is this going to be every episode that you just keep breaking up with Craig? Because it's kind of my favorite recurring thing.
I know. And
could you please just do this every episode? He's going to be getting married to somebody else, and she's going to, like, read their vows and be like, I'm breaking up with Craig.
And I love when he's like, you're just, like, burning bridges. She's like, I don't care. He's like, but what about my bridge?
You don't have a bridge, Craig.
Well, I'm the only one around here who has a bridge, and I have to say, it's a pretty subtle bridge. It's a bridge of subtlety. It's not like those northern bridges that are very loud.
The Limehouse is like, why are people burning the Limehouse Bridge? Who okayed this?
It's just like a little bridge in like a Japanese koi pond, you know? She's like, wow, that's really vengeful.
So Craig feels justified because he's like, you see, everybody, this is what I deal with. Now you know what I have to sleep with every night. He's like Erica Jane backwards.
Yeah.
And then he high-fives the leprechaun like they actually did something.
Yeah.
So funny.
That was a good episode. That was a good episode. Why don't we talk a little bit about Southern Charm New Orleans that aired earlier this week. I'm really into this show, by the way, I've decided. I really like it. Where are you? Because you were pushing back on it.
I mean, I just... No. Not really.
Really?
I don't like it. Mm-mm.
Why not?
It's just boring. Like, nothing happens. I'm not rooting for anybody on this show. I think they're all a bunch of dicks. And then the only guy I liked, the personal trainer guy, calls someone a faggot. Who does that?
You know what's funny? I totally missed the faggot part, but I pieced it together. I thought that was happening next week.
No, it happened in this one, and I had to read what it was online. And then he's like, I'm so sorry. And then he gave his Bravo blog about how sorry he is about the whatever, which, been there, done that, you know?
Yeah.
At least he said sorry, but gross. Like, I don't root for you anymore. I hope you all get divorced. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I figured, I thought that was going to happen next week because they said in the previews for next week, like, saying that word is like saying the N-word to a black person. I was like, oh, shit, did he say it? Wait, did I miss something here? But I thought it was going to happen next week. Either way, I don't know. I'm into it. I like all the characters. I'm enjoying the storylines. The big thing that happened this week was that we had the fallout from the stupid guys' night where they were painting. And Regan and Jeff, the white couple, they at the end of last week they were fighting and bickering, and so this week they get into the car and Jeff has made this painting, this like a stupid painting. First of all, they were supposed to be painting models, and his painting is just like a weird blue and teal canvas, and he's like very determined to take this painting home. Like, I'm like, dude, let it dry and take it back tomorrow. So they're in the back of this like Uber XL. And Regan is drunk, Jeff is drunk, and they're bickering. And he's, like, precariously holding this oil canvas. I'm like, dude, why do you have a wet oil canvas with you right now? What are you doing?
Oh, my God. This turned into the craziest fight. So she's like, don't be upset, Jeff. Don't be upset. And he's like, look at your phone, because I called you multiple times, and I just don't get service out here. And then, you know, when we're drunk, we start criticizing each other, and we're drunk. Yeah. She's like, well, normally, like, he doesn't drink too much, but maybe that's how, like, he now reflects his internal struggles. He gets drunk, and he has brain damage. It's really hard, and he has brain damage.
Well, she keeps, like, anytime he gets mad, anytime he gets mad or emotional, she'll be like, it's the CTE, like, I'm concerned about the brain, yeah. And he's like, stop, it's like, it's not the CTE, whatever. And then she's like, well, fine, you can sit there and you can make your paintings. And then she pushes the canvas and then she gets, like, paint on his suit. It's his own dumb fault for bringing a wet canvas into a small Uber, but at the same time, she didn't have to push it, and that sucks. And he's like, you just got paint on my suit jacket. He's like, well, I'll clean it. I'm like, bitch, you're not cleaning paint off of a suit. This is not like red wine. That is paint. That is paint.
And he's like, you don't even clean. You're mean. And if I did this to you, you'd be in rehab. And
And he's like, I'm not just some disabled crazy person that you get to say NFL brain every time you get pissed off about something. I'm out of here. I'm getting out of this car. Let me out of this car. God damn it. And then he gets out of the car and starts like running. Oh my God.
He starts running around like an industrial wasteland, like just running. And so then Barry and Tamika come over because she's like, can you come over, please? So they come, and then Barry's like trying to chase him down. But he's like, we're in the South. I'm not going to be trespassing and black at the same time because I'm gonna get shot immediately. So he's kind of like, hey Jeff, hey, you want to come over here? I'm gonna stand on this side of the road here. So he's like trying to chase down Jeff, and Reagan like, and Tamika's like, I know, baby, I know. And finally Barry is like, okay Jeff, how about I just drive you home separately? And Jeff's like, I can't, more laps.
He's like, just please leave me alone, stop following me, cameras, god damn it. They won't, you know, of course. And he's like, please just leave me alone. So Tamika takes Reagan home, and then these happy texts start popping up the screen from Barry. He's like, oh, everything's great.
I got
it's just
him.
Like his big smiling face on this bloopy text in the middle of all this drama.
Yeah.
And Jeff is like, Barry goes, get in the car. Come on, Jeff. And he's like, I know how to get home. Okay. I'll get home no matter what.
He's like,
this is his thing. He's like, dude, we live an hour and a half from here. Okay.
He's like, it's 70 miles away from here. He's like, I'll make my way. I'll do it. I'm like, you are sweating so hard. Even if you were to get an Uber, they would never pick you up. You are like a scary, drunk, sweating, big man. Like in the middle of an industrial, like, wasteland. No Uber is going to open their doors for you.
Yeah, gross. So then Reagan, he's sleeping on the floor of the condo in the French Quarter.
Yeah, the next day he wakes up, he's wearing his suit vest. He's like, no shirt, but a suit vest that's like holding him in like a cheaply made corset. It's a bad look.
Yeah, bad. He really needs, now, like, bravo. If you're going to be bringing Priv in here, bring Priv in here, okay?
So,
you gotta
please,
be consistent with this shit. Help please, him out. Priv, help this
please.
Poor guy out.
This guy needs Priv like no one else has needed Priv. That hair, because, you know, he's doing this thing with his hair where it's slicked back on top, but it's never slicked back, so it's always this, like, weird, curly, like, platform on top of his head. It needs to be cut.
You can have crazy eyes, or you can have that haircut. You can't have both. You know what I mean? And then squat on an apartment floor.
Like, yeah. You cannot. Here are three things you cannot do. You cannot have crazy eyes, crazy hair, and sleep in your suit vest. And why was he all of a sudden so modest? He was like, why was he wearing his shirt? Like, nothing made sense that he slept overnight in his suit vest.
Yeah, nothing is really making sense. But of course, Reagan shows up and she's like, what is this, Jim? This is where I come to be alone. And he's like, I look like a blackjack dealer. And she goes, you look like a busted up Chippendales dancer. It's like, okay, maybe today just be nice to him. Maybe just the morning, you know?
Just try.
I mean, that was a pretty big fit to throw, even if he was completely in the wrong, which I think you're both wrong. But even if he was completely in the wrong, maybe today is like a night, you know, morning to be nice. But she's not.
Exactly.
And then she's like, you're sleeping backwards. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I flipped out. I want my husband back. And he's like, I don't know how to cope with my anger and stress. And she's like, okay, well, I don't know if this is the multiple concussions or the stress of his entire family betraying him, but I'm moving out, basically.
Yeah. Basically. So now they're like on the verge. And so then she winds up going to Tamika's house. Tamika's her daughter and her niece are like having a sleepover, and Tamika's making cookies. And she's like, I've never made cookies before. She's like, they're not done yet. So she's like, okay, I'm going to put them back in the oven. Hey, let's go outside to talk for a little bit. I'm like, she even said the cookies take only like 6 minutes to bake. It's really more like 12, if you ask me.
But unless, like, you have a convection oven, ban.
Oh, sorry. And so they're like,
I
okay.
I thought the same thing. And then my friend was like, convection oven. And then I went on Amazon. I was like, how much is a convection oven? Cookies in 6 minutes?
So they go. So she's like, okay, I'm putting the cookies back in the oven, and then they go out to the porch and never go back into the kitchen. I'm like, is someone going to check on the cookies? Those cookies are burning. Like, no one's touching on the cookies. I was getting so mad.
I love when people on Bravo pretend to be good parents and then forget that they were pretending, you know?
It's so funny. So they just, like, talk, whatever. The only reason why I brought up the scene is because I needed to talk about that cookie situation. So, you know, and then while they're talking, Barry's talking to Jeff and saying, like, you can't do that. And Jeff's like, I have to figure out how to cope. I need to, like, get some help, you know, stuff like that. But meanwhile, the big thing is that Reagan is doing a big party for her little door knocker pins, which I actually like them. I actually we've seen jewelry before on Bravo, and I'm down with the door knockers.
I don't remember them.
The whole point of her party is she makes these little door knockers that you put on, like, your lapel. Like, if you look at a picture of Jeff, he's wearing one on his lapel. They're like, they look fine, they're inoffensive, and I sort of like them.
Okay, well, door knocking pins. Okay. All I noticed from that is that, I know, sorry, I didn't write anything down about door knocking pins, but all I got from this basically was that she has a company and Jeff does everything. He does all all the stocking and merchandising and fixing, and she's always like, you don't even have a job, Jeff. I'm like, he's running your company, lady. Like,
yeah, well, you're in law school.
Draw shit down, and then he does everything else, and he's still telling me he doesn't have a job. That's not fair.
Yeah, it's not. So they have this big party. John Moody shows up in a blazer without a shirt, which, on the one hand, it was like so obnoxious, like, ugh, you're so annoying. On the other hand, it was like, ugh, that's a great body. I cannot stop looking at it.
It's too much. It's too gross. It's sad. It's like a reverse eating disorder, and it's sad.
I know, but I could not stop staring at it. I was like,
it's
oh
like
my
when
God.
People post pictures of Ashley from Southern Charm, and they're like, she's down on Rucksack. And they're like, guys, don't body shame. And that's how I feel with him. Like, I shouldn't shame him just for working out so much, but it's just so, like, who hurt
it's
you?
So perfect. I know. Who hurt him? Who hurt him and made his body so perfect? So he comes with that girl. I forgot her name. She's like,
I'm John's date. I got the sleeves and tattoos and all stuff in my lips.
You're the sushi for me.
Oh, hey, Regan. Hi. How are you, Dad?
So they're over there talking, and then Tamika is just going to be a nasty, horrible human being to everybody that she comes in contact with on this show.
Yeah. So basically, Tamika, she pulls aside Justin because Justin and his girlfriend, whatever her name is, Nola Midler. So he basically, like, you know, his whole thing is that they're going to be moving in with his parents and they haven't gotten engaged yet and whatever. So Tamika's like, so is she the one? Is she the one? He's like, well, like, I'm figuring that out. You know, we haven't been dating for more than like a year even, you know. And she's like, well, you know when you know. I'm like, I think when you're in love, but I don't think you know if it's going to be your lifelong partner in that first year.
Yeah, she's horrible. It didn't even start that innocently. She comes up to him and she goes, well, you know I'm judgmental about relationships, so here I come. I'm coming for you.
True.
Now, when did you know she was the one? And you don't even see that she's the one. Is she the one? And he goes, well, she's the best. And she goes, no, you know, you should know by now. And he's like, we've been together less than a year. And then, of course, the girlfriend comes up because she sees, you know,
Tamika, trouble.
The hurricane of terrible eyelashes brewing over there. So she's like, what's up?
Yeah.
And she's like, we're talking. She's like, about what? It's like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
She's like, why are you talking about us? She's like, well, I was just asking Justin if you're the one. He said, I don't know.
Yeah. And so then she makes this girl feel terrible, you know, about the situation. And you know that Justin's just thinking, I am not going to tell you anything, Tamika, because I know you. And I'm not going to tell you that she's the one or not the one, because then you're just going to go and gossip and make a whole thing. So I'm just not going to say anything. And now she's turning it around and being like, well, he's not being upfront and he may not think that you're the one. And then this girl's like, oh, well, okay. And it's like all awkward. And then Reagan comes over and is like, what's going on over here at my party? And they're like, well, there's an awkward moment. She's like, well, I don't want my guests to feel awkward. So I'm sorry, Tamika, can you like walk away? Because I don't want awkwardness when I'm talking about my door knockers.
And Tamika's like, oh, okay, so talk tomorrow. You guys want to talk tomorrow, Zed? Want to talk tomorrow? And then she goes inside, and she goes up to Jeff and whoever else, and she's like, oh, are you guys doing okay? Because Regan is mad and rolled up on me. I'm like, oh, my
God. You started, Tamika. So then Tamika is, like, singing an aria with, like, John, and she's with Barry, and she's, like, talking about I think this is when she's talking about the whole thing, right? And then, what was it? Because it was when that gay guy was like insecure. Why was he saying that about?
Because she goes now it's the artist and his gay friend, and then they're the bimbo that he's dating, and so Tamika's like, he's like, I'm gonna take you away from this fight or whatever. So he sits her down, and she's like, John, I try to steer you in the right way, but you don't listen. And he's like, look. He goes, well, there's a rule here, apparently, you guys. Like, if you have a party for your boyfriends, you have to invite Tamika.
Oh, yeah, because
there's a girl sitting across from them. And she's like, yeah, because she's the wife. And she goes, okay, well, my husband is here. And he's like, it's completely unfair for Tamika to jump on someone for having an opinion. And they just start fighting about his party.
Yeah,
she's just, like, yelling at everybody now.
And that's when the gay guy was like, you're insecure. And she's like, I'm not insecure at all. I'm like totally, totally secure. I'm like a very much, I'm like the more I think about it, the more secure I am. I'm actually like a bank vault. I'm so secure. I get it. It's a joke. And then the guy,
like,
again.
That's a hot button word. Insecure. It's just like such a hot button word. Do you have anything to say that's not like a hot button word?
Yeah. And he's like, insecure. And then he like leaves. And then Barry's like, fuck this guy. So he gets up. He's like, hey, that's my wife. You can't talk to my wife that way. And this guy, honestly, this guy was provoking. I mean, Tamika may be ridiculous, but this guy was being provocative. The guy was like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. The moment you touch me, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to be living in your house because I'm going to sue you. If you touch me, I'm like, okay.
I'm going to sue you to the fucking boots, which is my favorite new saying ever. But he did not provoke it. He walked away. He's like, okay. And Barry is just sitting there while his wife tells every single fucking person off in this party.
But this guy doesn't even, I don't know what his relationship with Tamika is, but he was like, he was basically being like bitchy queen to her. He was, like, insecure. It's like, who the fuck are you? And then Barry he stands up and is like, listen, don't talk to my wife that way. And then this guy's immediate reaction is, oh, don't touch me. I'm going to sue you. Like, who goes to that place?
No, he walked out. This guy walked out. She got mad.
He didn't just walk out. He went insecure and walked out like that. It was like he'd lobbed something and walked away. And Barry was like, that's not cool. I mean, I admit maybe Barry shouldn't have gotten up, but Barry, I don't think it was the worst thing in the world.
He didn't just get up. He chased him out. It's like.
He didn't like go running after him. He just got up and was like, hey, he even was sort of like nice about it. He's like, hey, don't talk about my wife that way. Like, I thought it was like a perfectly fine. It was there was some aggression, but it wasn't really the worst aggression. I thought it was more provocative of that guy to be like, you're insecure, and then walk away. Like, that's like a petty, like, that's like a nasty moment. And Barry was like, you know what, I'm not, like, that's my wife. And he goes up and he's like, don't talk about my wife that way. And this guy's first reaction is, he could have been like, you know what, relax, and then he could have walked away. But the guy's first reaction was, don't touch me. I'm going to sue you. Don't touch me. I'm going to sue you. It was like such a – he took it to like such an extra level.
Well, he came at him strong. This guy – I thought Barry was being total extra. I think we were watching different shows because Barry was the one who was like, you don't talk to my wife like that.
Well, he got that way.
Step to me, bro.
But if you look back, like, he initially was like, hey, don't talk to my wife that way. And then this guy was being real like obnoxious back.
Well, how about you tell your wife to stop being fucking obnoxious to everybody?
Well,
I'm really sick of everybody being like, oh, the woman – the wife can just come in and say whatever she wants and no one can say anything back. That's bullshit. Your wife is an asshole. So how about instead of tattletaling on everybody all the time or trying to beat people up for her or calling them faggot in public, how about you maybe like tell your wife to shut the fuck up for once? Sir?
Well, I mean, she was definitely provoking it, but this was also a conversation that she was having with John and this guy inserted. I'm just saying, I don't think that Barry was like super aggro at the beginning of it, and this guy was being extra. But I mean, obviously Barry got aggro, and I guess there was the F-bomb, which I completely missed. I thought it was going to happen next week, which obviously is inexcusable. But I just don't think it was as simple as like, oh, Barry was like roided up. It was like, rawr! I think he went out there and was like, don't talk about my wife that way. And then from that point, when this guy started really sassing Barry, that's when Barry started to go off.
We're just going to disagree on that one. I think he was a complete monster. I mean,
wow.
I think he was an asshole. And that's my problem with this show. I don't like anybody on this show. That guy I liked, he can go fuck himself now.
I like all of them.
Tamika's an asshole. She's just fucking with people and fucking with their relationships for no reason. The other one's like gaslighting her husband. It's like, oh, now NFL brain bothers you? Although I did like the part where she was talking to the other NFL wife about, because that is a serious thing.
Yeah.
And here we are in America rooting on football. And then we're like, whoops, we're giving them all brain damage. Yay, let's go watch football.
Yeah, this other woman is like, my husband already is coming down with dementia. I sent him to the supermarket. He comes back without anything. And so it's like,
that's also being a husband. We've all sent a man to a grocery store with a list. Okay. Yeah. They come back with like Fruity Pebbles.
Well, anyway, I like the show and I actually like a lot of them. So it's kind of funny that we have two different perspectives, and you guys, you weigh in, let us know what you think about these people. And if you like the show, cause I'm curious where everyone else is standing on it. And in the meantime, let's wrap up this week by going to the Crappins mailbag, shall we? Did you hear the music or no?
I sure did.
Oh, good. Want to make sure.
Loved it.
Here's one from Tiffany Doyon. Doyon. D-O-Y-O-N. She says, hi, guys. First time Patreon. Long time listener. With Cinco de Mayo coming up, I was wondering, what are your favorite alcoholic beverages to drink? You can expand to include favorite drinks to socialize, favorite to relax from a stressful day, and or favorite to get Slurry Dorinda drunk. Thanks. Oh, what a nice question. I like that.
Tito's. Tito's and usually a martini with a twist. I don't like olives in my drink, but I do like them in my mouth in general. I love olives, yeah. But I don't like them in my vodka. And that's pretty much it. I'm like Ramona, okay? I always have three glasses in front of me. I have a Tito's martini with a twist. And then next to that, I have a Diet Coke. And then next to that, I have a glass of water, okay? And usually a basket of bread if I'm in a place that's classy.
Yeah, that's very classy. I'm always all over the map a little bit. Like, at the live shows, I've gotten into the habit of drinking Bud Light on stage just because it's, like, easy and it's, like, not too much. It's, like, it's drinkable, but it's, like, not too intense, so I don't, like, lose, like, I don't become, like, a crazy person on stage. But I also really like Bud Light. People are like, ugh, Bud Light. But I'm like, I like the way Bud Light tastes. I think it's very drinkable. Mm-hmm. But I like lots of beers. I like, if I'm at a bar and I'm going to be ordering a beer, and I don't feel like dealing with the nonsense of whatever microbrew is there, because who the fuck knows what any of these microbrews are. We're not all Austin, okay? I'm just like, give me a Stella Artois. So I'll take a Stella, usually. And then in terms of, like, cocktails, I have become, like, a Jack and Diet Coke, not a Gentry Bourbon, but a Jack and Diet Coke person. I used to be a big vodka tonic person, but I found that, like, not all vodka tonics are created equally, and it's such a simple drink, but, like, if someone puts in too much tonic water, it's like, ugh, I cannot deal with this tonic, and I'm not about to do a vodka soda. It's just, it does not work for me. I can do it, but it's, like, just, like, flavorless. I'm like, wow. So I find that Jack and Diets are a pleasant thing, and if I feel like getting drunk, I will usually start off with, like, a dirty vodka martini. That's a little bit of my speed.
That
there.
Sounds delicious. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I do not like the taste of alcohol. I think it's disgusting. I drink solely to get a buzz.
Oh, I love.
So that's why I stick with vodka soda or vodka.
I actually love tequila. And if I'm ever going to a place that's all about, like, mixology and, like, interesting cocktails where it's not like I'm just at a bar and just want to order something quickly, I will usually go for a tequila or mezcal drink first.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So what else is in there, Ben?
Let's see. How about Sharon? Sharon says, loved seeing you guys in New York and can't wait to see you again in Philly. Yay. And we have two Philly shows, by the way, everyone. Here's my question. I hate Thomas Ravenel with a burning passion. I think he's a narcissist and a sociopath. I think he's using Ashley as a torture device with Catherine, and I can't watch it. Usually I enjoy watching the crazier Bravo celebrities. I mean, Vicky Gunvalson is also delusional, but she's good TV. Has there ever been, or is there now, a Bravo personality you just couldn't watch? Kim Zolciak.
Oh, God.
Kim Zolciak for me.
Well, Kim Zolciak is a monster, but she's usually been fun to watch up until past.
She's
crossed the line.
She's jumped her own. I don't even say she jumped her shark. She just jumped her lips.
She jumped the dolphin. No, actually, I have to say, some of the ones who have made me the most furious, I would be upset if they left the shows. Like, Tamara Barney makes me, she makes my blood boil. She's like a Tamika to me, that type of person who's just mean to just...
Yeah, but I like watching her, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I want her to stay on the show. Not Tamika, necessarily. She's an asshole. But Tamara, like, I don't know. There's something about her, like, I'm glad she's on the show. But she's made my blood boil. Kyle used to really make my blood boil from Beverly Hills.
Yeah, you hated Kyle.
Yeah, she's really stopped doing much on the show, so she doesn't bug me as much. But no, there's no one I really won't watch. There have been actual shows full of people that I can't stand, and this is turning into one of them, to be honest. But no, I mean, you just deal with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What are you going to do?
For me right now, Kim Zolciak is the one that's jumping out at me. I think there have been other ones, but...
Oh, God. Bobby from Below Deck was one for me. You see, they'll start flooding because I think, like, oh, I'm healed because I forget about these shows the second they're over. But, man, I'll get re-traumatized really easily, and Bobby will re-traumatize me. Hated him. Hated Chef Adam from that show. He's coming back.
Yeah, Chef Adam's back. I'm trying to think of the ones that... But a lot of those people, like, I hate, but I like that they're there. Like, Kim Zolciak, I'm like, I just don't like her anymore, and I don't feel like she needs to be on Bravo anymore. I feel like she needs to be canceled. You know, her life... Not her... Well, I don't want her, like, to die, but, like, her reality TV life needs to be canceled. You know?
Yeah.
I got that way with Brandy Glanville at one point, but I've since, like, walked back, and now I feel like, and not just because we're on her show, I just feel like, okay, like, when she was on Celebrity Big Brother, I was like, oh, I forgot how much, like, there were times I really enjoyed Brandy, and, like, there's certain aspects of her that are just, like, really very fun, and sometimes her truth-telling is really good, but then she's really good at fucking up her own situation, so, you know, that's on her, in terms of, like, sending those nasty tweets about Pink Dog to Lisa Vanderpump. I'm trying to think if there's anyone. I mean, Patrick from Vanderpump Rules, I don't need to see him anymore. But he doesn't really count. He's so minor, you know? So
yeah.
I think that's basically where I land on that.
Okay, what else is in there?
Let's just wrap it up for the week, shall we?
Okay.
If you want to submit questions to the Crappins mailbag, you just go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins and just support the podcast at the mailbag level or above, and you can write in questions. That's how you do that. We always appreciate the questions. And then we'll be back on Monday to talk some Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm sure we'll – and then next week we'll have a report of our Countess and Friends. We're going to be in Chicago next week, which is great. And by next Friday, we'll be back talking about Southern Charm. I'm just curious to see, Ronnie, if this is going to be one of those shows where you're like, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And then all of a sudden you find yourself loving it. Because that's a lot of times.
Possibly.
That's an arc that you often go on.
Yes, that is true.
Many of us go on.
That's very possible. But I just, usually I start to at least like them on the third recap.
I don't know.
I thought it would at least be fun to make fun of Reagan, but I think she's just horrible. And I think she used that man up and she's about to spit him out. And Tamika's horrible. And those are the main people on the cast. Those two, you know. I don't watch it for the men.
I don't know. You hated Below Deck at first also, so.
And I still sometimes do. That show really still is just maids on a boat fighting about stupid shit. But for the most part, I really like that show, you know?
Yeah. Well, but you find Tardy for the Party funny, whereas I can't stand it. So I guess we have, you know, just happens, I guess.
Well, I love white trash pretending they're not white trash. It's always cracked me up. So who knows, guys? Who knows? It doesn't really matter. We're talking about it either way.
Nothing really matters. Everyone, have a wonderful weekend. Go to watchcrappins.com to buy tickets to our live shows. We'll see a bunch of you next week in Chicago, and we'll see each other, but not really, next week on Monday for Potomac. Bye, everyone.